She was a key negotiator helping to end the Sri Lankan conflict, and she was nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize for her work on helping to improve international standards on the conduct of war. This week, Visakha Dhamadasa is in the United Nations in New York, calling for greater involvement for women in peacekeeping and politics more generally. Her life changed 15 years ago when her son went missing in action fighting the Tamil separatists in Sri Lanka. But she says while the nearly 30-year war in her country is over, there is still no peace. She joined me earlier from New York. Visakha Dhamadasa, thanks very much for joining us. Let's start on a personal level. That terrible day in 1998, how critical was that news about your son in launching you into your role as a peace negotiator for your country?
It did trigger everything. It is definitely very critical. You know, coming into this work and, you know, 15 years has gone, but still it's very, very difficult because I am still looking for him. And it's not only me. I think anywhere in the world, when you have your next of kin, your existence is not known, it's very, very difficult. It's much, much more difficult than, you know, coming to know that your loved ones are no more.
You formed the group Parents of Servicemen Missing in Action, and you forced the government to change its approach on the whole issue of identification. How
very
important...
Right. It was extremely important because soldiers in Sri Lanka didn't wear identification tags. It was very, very difficult for us to tell the government that it is extremely important for them to wear the identification disc. But the regulation change was with the committee of the Red Cross. The regulations that they had of registering a person's missing, that's what we could change. Not only for Sri Lanka, but throughout the world, for those men who are in uniform and fighting the battle for their countries.
And it was only a few years after your son went missing that you went to see the commanders of the Tamil separatists. How hard was it for you talking to the people who'd ordered the attack that possibly killed your son?
It was not that difficult because I was really looking forward to get some answers from them. And that particular relationship which made us understand that they are definitely human beings, and though they have done terrible things and were doing terrible things, but still we could talk to them.
You then formed the Association of War-Affected Women. Why women?
Because as mothers, as wives, we understood that we can play a very important role. Because I was a woman, that I was able to cross the borders and go.
So what exactly did you do in your role as a facilitator between the two sides in this civil war?
We have been going and meeting both sides, and especially, as I told you, as you have also correctly mentioned, about the identification discs and also transfer of dead bodies. I mean, it was every possible thing that they had to agree to.
So how critical do you think you and those other women were in ultimately bringing about the peace?
Bringing about a ceasefire, yes, that we managed to. I don't call it peace, and I don't even call yet peace in my country until we do have proper, the root causes are addressed, and we are sure that our country will not go to war back again.
You've been insistent that women be represented during the peace talks.
Yeah.
What can women bring to a peace negotiation that men can't or don't?
The values. The women bring different set of values. Their perspective it's a whole new perspective, and that's why it's critical to have women at the negotiating table. We are calling for Syria. We're calling everywhere, have women, because they do bring a different perspective and they have a different set of values.
And of course, the war in Sri Lanka went on for decades. How long do you think it will take for the values to come back?
We have a lot to do. We really have a lot to do. And that's what I tell the youngsters. That's what I tell the university students. You know, 30 long years it's really a lot. Because 30 years we really, really have lost. And people are displaced, people are here and there. So all that is broken, and that will take definitely at least another 50 years to come, one whole generation.
You mentioned when I asked you about going and seeing the commanders of the Tamil separatists that you actually wanted to find some things out. Did you ever have any clues on what happened to your own son?
No, I mean, the only thing what they were telling is that they will tell me. And at that time, for us, you know, stopping the war was the most important thing, because we don't want any more from either side and daughters to go missing or to die. So we really wanted to silence the guns for good.
At the UN in New York this week, you're calling for gender-sensitive training for peacekeepers. Why are you doing this? What sort of problems have you seen?
You get outside men who are there. If they are not sensitive to the very special needs of the women, then it's not going to be successful. And that's why when India could send a women-only contingent to Liberia, the police, for peacekeeping, that was very successful. So we're asking possible places to have women, and if you can't, because definitely there's a lot of men who go for peacekeeping, at least give them a gender-sensitive training.
Now, you're working to bring more women into political leadership in your country. Will you run for political office in Sri Lanka?
I have no idea of running at this very moment, but I do believe that there's a lot to put right in my country, especially when it comes to independence of the judiciary. Too much power exactly for the executive presidency. We have to bring back the 17th Amendment. There is a lot to put right within our country.
That's Sri Lankan human rights activist Visakha Damodasa speaking to me from New York.